Oh my god, you guys. I don't know how he found me on Earth, but Lord Bumbo's here and he's fucking pissed, guys. So, you know, just in case he kills me, I love you. In the Star Wars New Canon Book Club Archives Volume 3, 20 hours of our old show, reviewing Disney Star Wars, is available now for free to everyone, even non-members, at patreon.com/SWOCBC. Just go there, patreon.com/SWOCBC. Oh god, he's coming. Listen to this one, I pack Archives Volume 3 right now at patreon.com/SWOCBC.
The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/SWOCBC for ad-free episodes, reading guides, movie and TV episode audio watch-alongs, and more. Today's Old Canon Fact of the Day comes from Star Wars, the new essential guide to alien species by Anne Margaret Lewis and Helen Kaya, first published in 2006. Though Ewoks suffer from limited eyesight, these small creatures have an excellent sense of smell that more than compensates. They are accomplished hunters, and being omnivores, they also gather food from the plants that surround them. In some cases, they have been known to mistakenly eat sentient beings, assuming they were simply large game to be captured. Today's selection is Star Wars Ewoks Season 1, an animated television series by Paul Dini and Bob Caro, whose final episode was first broadcast on November 30th, 1985. Enjoy the show, and may the Force be with you, always.
Chuba, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Star Wars Old Comic Book Club, I guess.
I guess.
We're almost done with being the Old Comic Book Club. Like, we have made a decision.
Oh, I think it's a terrible decision.
No, this is a good decision.
On behalf of everyone out there, I just want to say, I vote we should have skipped all these shows and movies and comics. I hate them.
No, we did a good...
What? This is new? You never said this.
I vote. I make this vote now. Having done it and knowing we still have stuff to go, I know it won't happen.
But there is good news.
But I do not like it.
But there is good news.
Wait, have you not enjoyed the comics at all?
The comics are fine. If I had my druthers, it would have been like, books. Ignore this part of the 80s. Just completely
ignore. We're building the tapestry.
I get
media
it.
Media drop by media drop. As a person that's like re-listening to the original stuff, like our early episodes of this podcast, you were singing a different tune back then. But I think we all pretty much, the comics are like, and this is interesting.
By the way,
it is enjoyable.
By the way, I'm not surprised by this information, and I feel like just when we talk about the show, and we talk about what we should do,
every
Jesse's
time
like,
I go "What in if we just don't do those?" Yeah. And ready to go, and then about
but you know,
episodes in, I'm reminded of just how much I'm like, oh no, I hate this.
Yeah, but now you have an arc. You know what I'm saying?
I guess.
Yeah, now you have an arc.
I guess.
His is going
to
be
enemies to lovers.
He's going to fall to the dark side like Exar Kun, and you're going to like, oh, you think it's going to just be great Star Wars stuff forever?
No, but even the stuff like the Ewok show was not as bad as I was thinking.
Yeah, but you know what people really don't like more than like bad writing and bad character work and stuff like that?
What?
The cold, emotionless touch of money.
I mean, once we get to the prequel era,
it's far before that.
Really?
There's going to like... I'm excited for when we get to stuff that I know and love and remember.
Oh, my God.
But there's a reason why the fandom roughly died off in the 80s. And I get it. Like, it's not entertaining.
We had to experience
it. We're talking about two different things, though. Where we're going is past that.
There's multiple
And what you're
times.
Talking about is, like, in the era.
Oh,
era.
In the 90s, there's some misses, dude.
There's a dip.
There's some misses.
There's dip times besides the Ewok time. Trust me, but don't worry about that right now. I have good news. The good news is, unlike the recent series of episodes that we just did, which are about the comics where we go, okay, well, we're going to read, 30 comics right now, so we're going to split it in half, or Droids, where we said, well, this is an entire season of television, so let's break it into two episodes. We have made the executive decision, in case you haven't heard us say this yet, we have made the executive decision to do one episode per season of Ewoks. So instead of four episodes on Ewoks, you get two. One per season, which I feel like is acceptable. Because
acceptable
we haven't...
is the exact right word.
We haven't skipped...
Not good, not great. Acceptable.
We haven't skipped anything. You know what I'm saying? We're just going
a little
faster. We're just going a little faster because
honestly,
we don't want our show to literally almost die off in the 80s, just like Star Wars did.
It definitely, like... I think getting hype about how close we are and seeing the things in the Star Wars fan magazine, fan club that are like, and this, ooh, this one, this issue of the fan club is like,
ooh, yeah.
It's like calling me. It's calling torturous. Me to like finish. And that's why we were like, we're going to just sit and we're just going to bang it out. It was not that bad. If you listen to the watch along, we did not hate it, or I don't think in the same way that the second half of Droids, I think Ewoks is a better show than Droids.
It didn't kill my soul.
Oh, I'd agree with you there. Yeah,
it didn't kill my soul.
But it definitely had a similar, like, they front-loaded the art and story, and then when the Care Bear stare took over, it was like,
they stuck the landing, but there was a huge chunk in the middle that was like, ugh.
And we did it all in a day.
Yeah. We also
powered through in a way that I would not have.
We also were smart to plan the day around it, where we're like, we'll have a nice little like we made it. We made it the day. We went and walked and got lunch. Like, we did do a good job of like, let's.
Yeah. The other thing about the droid session was that we were like 3 a.m. or some shit. Like, it was like 1:15.
Still though, I mean, you can hear.
It was worse. It was definitely worse.
Hear the slow decline of that. Like, in the way we talk about it, that show was bad.
It hurt us. Like, we went in ready to have a good time.
It really becomes, by the end of that, like sounds and Scooby-Doo running. It's like, it was like so all over the place. And here there's antics, but they do have a real plot every time.
Do you think there's some sort of like thing we can do with the community where we look at all the show based or like, you know, TV, movies, etc., and create some sort of graph that delineates the intro theme song's quality with the rest of the show? Because I feel like the worse or shorter the song, the better the show.
That's true. The better the song, the better the song, the worse the show.
That song rocked the show. Not
the better the song, the worse the show works for me.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be like a graph we can make.
So far, that kind of tracks like across the board.
Because eventually,
now here's the thing to think about. Is there like a reason? Is it because a effective theme song gets you so hype that your expectations are raised? Therefore,
that's what the study
you treat
would show
the rest
us.
Of it is worse. Or if it's like, okay, this is a bad one, and then the episode isn't that bad, you're like, oh, this is better.
I think a graph would show us the correlation of that over time. So we would have an answer by the end if we did it.
For example, what was the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie?
Okay.
The reviews for it were so low that I went in being like, this is going to be a stinker. And it was not a good movie, but it wasn't as bad. So I was like, oh, that's just like a regular
Movie. I will go on record as saying, as somebody who was reading Green Lantern, like,
the point isn't to go that deep into the Green Lantern talk. It's just that, like, I was expecting so low that, like, a 5 became proportionally, like,
people
a 6.5.
People forget that less quality than something good is not, like, a complete lack of quality, I think, just in general, right? And I think Ewoks actually are just, like, a perfect example of this, because unlike Droids, which is almost exclusively our boy Bob Caro, or whatever his name is, the Care Bears man, right? Ewoks is different because Ewoks is like half and half. So you get the guy, Paul Dini, who is like a legendary children's TV show writer who wrote some of the best episodes of the Batman animated series, which then like translated, like he's the guy who came up with the Clayface that is now a movie. He's the guy that came up with the sad version of Mr. Freeze that we care about. He's the guy that made Harley Quinn into a thing. He's the guy that gave Renee Montoya a thing, Detective Bullock, all these crazy things that are now core to Batman. He's a great, great writer, right?
And his episodes were significantly better than the others.
So that's what I was going to say.
And front-loaded.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say is like the rhythm of this show, at least for season one, because already I have discovered in sort of doing some production for this season that the second season, the animation doesn't look quite the same, and nor does the theme song.
I like the theme song for season two, I think, is better.
That's crazy.
In a like J.G. Wentworth, like the Ewoks is like so simple that you're just gonna like remember it forever. But they're doing the like original Return of the Jedi, like Ewok victory song vibe. Okay. It's kind of like
the Taj Mahal song is a better song. It's a better recording, right? Like if I'm never turn on, there's no chance that I would turn on the second one, like independent of me watching the show and just to listen to it.
I'm not going
to
turn on the first one. But there's a slim
chance, right? Like if I was DJing.
The droids though, I already want to just listen to it again.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
in a danger zone. Yeah.
However, is the second season Ewok theme a better TV show theme for the show.
It does get you a little more hyped to watch a show.
I feel like it feels more like a TV show theme. But here's the thing.
And since it's split into two 15-minute episodes, it means...
11.
Great. You're getting two theme songs, so that's less child show you have to watch.
I don't
and
know
more
you,
just banger theme song you
I hope you don't get the theme song twice. That would kill me. I hope you don't.
Davis's face...
Don't just remember, guys. If you dare to dream, you might not.
Imagine if Adventure Time
and
played the whole theme
hope
song.
Hope is the key ingredient to despair.
Wow,
as Bane taught us.
He's a great role model, honestly. Like I take most of my wisdom from.
Fire rises, brothers.
Do you feel in control? Never, not once in my life.
Do you feel in control? You know what's crazy? Everybody talks about Dark Knight the most, and I feel like Bane made more of an impact. Culturally, over like now that we're here,
absolutely not. The Joker over the Joker,
like more people today. I guess probably because that guy shot the movie theater up as the Joker that nobody really like goes into the Joker.
The Joker, magic,
there's a ton of Joker things that people copy. Bane is
some
like
men just want to see the world burn. It's like
Bane is like
used.
Was like memed in the
that's
not
what I mean.
Fun
like
way.
The funniness of Bane somehow like. Went farther online than the serious goodness of Heath Ledger. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even going to say I think Bane is better than the Joker. That's not where this conversation is going. I just think there was more. Like, that was. That's
I think
gone
it's
farther.
The, like, prequel meme material.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, it's just like wackier, so it's easier to do.
Somebody
to
was meme. Talking about,
and then people forget that they like. I don't know. Like that, it becomes a meme. Ingratiates them to the idea of it.
I was watching a clip of somebody who was an extra in the Gotham Stadium scene of The Dark Knight Rises. And it was like, you know, filming. So they had no idea what the deal was going to be with Bane or Tom Hardy or any of that. And so he comes out and he's like, oh, Gotham City. And everybody in the audience is like, the fuck is he doing? Like, what?
Sean
is this? Connery? Is this really the voice? Like, That's like what the vibe was of everyone in the stadium.
Well, I think that's the difference is that Joker as an iconic character is one that everyone thinks about. But with that said, Bane has more one-liners that are easy to repeat.
Yeah.
And that's why it seems like people talk about Bane more because they can just do like,
it's much funner.
I was raised. Yeah. Like that kind of,
it's much funner.
Where Joker is just kind of like.
Good.
Yeah, like it's a great character. There's a lot of amazing scenes, but most of it is done visually through the way that he's acting rather than like the one-liner he says.
Yeah.
And most of Bane is he just stands there and says a thing. And so it's easier to just do that.
That's kind of Tom Hardy versus Heath Ledger too. I feel like
a little bit.
Even though Heath Ledger is dead and his career definitively is already over and Tom Hardy has the potential to do whatever he wants in his life.
Potential?
If he ever just showed up on time.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Like piss off everybody that he
like,
works with.
Heath Ledger's dead. Somehow there's no chance that he's going to ever surpass Heath Ledger as a serious person. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway.
So Ewoks.
To go back to Ewoks.
Anyway, so the Ewoks will never surpass 3PO and R2.
Well, that's what I was going to say is like, I think in the 80s, when this show was happening, which by the way is before the Turtles. I did not realize that. I thought this was kind of like a post-Turtles type show, but it's actually a pre-Turtles type show.
This came out in 85?
Yeah.
Interesting. So when we, for those of you who are on the Patreon, there's a segment we're going to do about the sort of merchandising and distribution. And the guy who runs that took over in 86.
Interesting.
And I wonder if they had like a big shakeup where they were like, okay, yep, that was a bad plan.
That probably has a lot to do with that theme song and the slight redesign of all the characters. Because honestly, it's like color swaps and stuff like that.
I'm curious to hear about you. Did you read the article about that guy?
Yeah.
Because I read one about like a QVC. Like, I guess we're not reading the insider from 86, but like when you look at like the collectibles and merch that have been like the books, the games, all the stuff that is now we're hitting in the insider. It's like a whole. They leveled up.
There's money going into it now. Yeah.
There's a moment, I think, during this time, probably at the end of 85 or whenever this came out, where all those guys in the like, you know, marketing side of what Star Wars is, they have this revelation that's like, because this is what it originally was, is to market to kids. And we've been trying and trying and trying because that's where we thought our market was. But we realize It's the adults who watched our movie back in the late 70s.
If you were 12 in 1977, you still are the guy who likes
Star Wars. You aren't out here being like, I can't wait to watch an Ewoks kids show. You're out here waiting for like a book or a video game or any of these other things. And so they really completely changed the direction they're going because they were like, oh, well, Star Wars is for kids. And like, no, it's not. Which I think goes back to a lot of what we say when people are like, Star Wars is for kids. Even they were like, no, our number one audience is adults.
Yeah. Like, adults who are a little bit open-minded, maybe compared to like some other adults, but still, sure. It's adults. But
well, I think it's an
adventure series, so there is like the young at heart.
But that's why
I think that changes again when the Clone Wars come out, the prequels, because then new younger people get into Star Wars, and so they can start marketing to kids again.
They get their own Star Wars,
yeah, which is why there is a generational divide when you talk about like Star Wars. Younger people just resonate more with the prequels.
Yeah. So the reason I bring up Bane and the Joker is because I feel like this time in Star Wars was a Bane time rather than a Joker time, and I feel like even today, like, Star Wars, the brand, is fighting against people who remember their opinion of Star Wars forming around this time, you know, and those things kind of carry forward. Like, there was a time when Star Wars made you groan because the cool thing that you used to like was now defined by cartoon robots and bears. And when you go to...
RoboCop eventually becoming, like, a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, but that's... Well, I'm thinking about my dad, for example, right? Or my friend Denis Villeneuve, right? Famous Star Wars hater.
He's not a fan of those bears.
More like Denis Villeneuve. No, thank you. Right. No, to those Ewoks.
And when we get to episode one, the things that sort of, like, got pointed out as, like, the rough things in episode one are anything that sort of triggered any sort of...
For the kids.
Sign, that they were going back to anything that looked like Ewoks or droids.
Jar Jar.
Jar Jar. My dad hated Sebulba. My dad hated those little, the pit droids.
Even the Nemoidians, the Boss Nass. Like, there's a lot of little things that I can imagine would hit that trigger point for older viewers who would be like, what, this isn't Star Wars.
Yeah.
Of all the ones when it's like for kids, I was thinking about it. Like, that is the one that feels the most that, because they put an actual child as the main character.
Yep.
His scenes and dialogue are like, wee! Like,
that's
it's
a
like
trick.
Whatever. Like, the Gungans are just cartoons. Well, Jar Jar is. I feel like
the droids,
if you exclude him,
are literal...
the Gungan army's like kind of a cool vibe.
They are
when
cool,
they're not
yes.
like.
Yeah,
the
cool.
droids are literally the green dudes from the Ewok show.
Yeah, literally.
It's the exact same type of villain.
Hitting each other in the head.
Yeah, they're so goofy, and they're like, whoa, we can't stop the Ewoks. Same vibe, but with versus Gungans.
Yeah.
But then if you look at the scenes with like Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, they're not lowered. There's like serious stakes. There's like poisoning and killing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's kind of the thing. Okay, so like...
Also, Sebulba sucks, because just a slight tangent. You're only as a villain, you're like only as cool as like what you fight against. So if you're like a douchebag to a child,
Sebulba's you are not a villain. Sebulba is just a dickhead. He just,
if you're like
a
dickhead to a like a 9-year-old kid, there's not really a universe where you like are cool.
Yeah, but in a world where some people are 400 and some people are 70 and they're like old, and some people are like 3 years old and they're old, who the fuck cares about a 9-year-old human compared to anyone else? And Sebulba's just fucking good enough at race, like an Italian race car driver.
Plus,
fuck you. Get
you
out of my
say
face.
His name and it's fun because Sebulba.
Sebulba just cares about winning.
That's
yeah.
But here's the thing. He should. He's a fucking race car driver. Anyway. The thing I'm trying to say in response to what you're saying has nothing to do with Sebulba or any of that. My point is that there is a pastiche that made the original Star Wars. There is a postmodern sort of pastiche that George looks outward and brings a bunch of stuff in that is so sick, right? We, as watchers of this stuff, think that stuff is also so damn sick, right? Even today, The Mandalorian is in some ways one of the truest adaptations of the idea of Star Wars, because he's like a pulp hero. He's done like... you know, somebody like that, the Shadow or something like that. He's very terse. He's very moody, right? Everything that comes from the soul of George Lucas alone, everything that's not part of that pastiche that emerges from the tapestry of just Star Wars, seems to not adhere to the pastiche, seems to sort of draw things into some perspective about why George Lucas was like, you know who I like as my successor? Dave Cowboy Hat Filoni.
Which, by the way, I just want to say, as someone who has... seen the Mandalorian movie now. I thought it was a fine film. Feels very much like you're watching a bunch of episodes back to back, real talk. But with that said, I walked out like, yeah, all right, I enjoyed that. Here's the thing. Dave Filoni shows up twice in his cowboy hat and both times takes you 100% out of the movie. He's like, good shot.
I think
it's crazy.
I think that I saw the movie also. I saw it day before yesterday. I feel like it's the most successful thing that feels like old Star Wars in tone in a long time because Jon Favreau's coming in with a pastiche that's really strong and really sort of like minimalist. Like he is trying to just nail the adventurer, like pulp hero, John Carter type vibe. And then you have it pushing and pulling against the
Filoni
most
being like, I'm going to insert all my OCs.
Yes. And yeah, so I think in some ways we've gotten a very Star Wars feeling thing. And I think that maybe if you asked Dave Filoni or George Lucas in 2006 what Star Wars was, I could see them saying, oh, you know what it is it's you take like a genre that is like really awesome and adapt it to Star Wars and then put some of our dumb bullshit in there.
So like what the thing that's
the Han Solo books, I think, are like so far the most successful where we are in the podcast version of that, because it's like your dad's like book, like his little spy book idea, but with like the character from Star Wars that can support that vibe, and then the books just do it.
Yeah, I mean, like it's the Mandalorian movie, I think, does something that's fun where it's like, hey, we're gonna use that vibe from the Star Wars books, which is like, okay, we're gonna go to Nal Hutta, and I'm like, yo, okay, we're gonna see, like, instead of Nar Shaddaa or anything, we're just like their swamp ass home world. And I was like, okay, they nailed this scene. This is really cool seeing the huts like be slug people. I'm like, oh yes, okay, good. I love this thing. But at the same time, then we'll be like, we're going to include this character, this bounty hunter character, that could have been anyone at all. But we're going to make it this famous character from the Clone Wars series or whatever because it's fun for Dave Filoni to do that.
Yeah.
And that's where you get hit with, like,
and people who like that shit, right? Like, sure, there are like, people who
there's
love...
There's no reason for Zeb to be in the movie.
Right.
He could be anyone, but that's sort of the Filoni-ness of we're going to stick in...
Which it fits.
He looks...
Like, why it even more just feels like the comics that we're reading.
Yes.
Because they would bring back their fucking stupid made-up characters and throw them... Those, like, fucking little rabbits or whatever that become... You're just like... Stop putting your bullshit in there.
Who jibs?
Use the good...
Who jibs?
Not you jib.
Oh,
who jibs.
Oh, the gremlins.
The ones that, like, actually, like, pull me out of my body.
Homies
like,
love who jibs, okay? First off.
All right.
Everyone loves a who jib.
You can love them.
But this is one of those... That's
why we never see them again. They were so beloved that they were, like, out of respect.
Out of respect for the
who jibs.
Yeah.
But it's that kind of thing that I think shows you where Star Wars is, just from where we are now to where we're going to, like, even to today... A movie came out where in the movie, it's pulled two separate ways. There's some scenes where I'm like, yes, this is how I view Star Wars.
Yes.
And then the next scene, it's like, all right, well, clearly this is for a different type of Star Wars fan than me, which is an interesting way to look at Star Wars.
The mystery will
kind
always
of my,
be.
I think it's the Disney way now. I think this is like an issue that I have with like the Marvel movies, not maybe the recent ones as much as like even like Winter Soldier, which I love, or like when they were like, oh, we're going to do like
a genre,
except for they're really only 10%. Like they're like, it's going to be a political thriller. And you're like, it's not really a political thriller, actually. Like, yes, there's a reveal, but even the ones that aren't political thrillers have a secret and a reveal. Like, I don't know. It like just becomes a Marvel punch 'em up. And then you don't really like have to deal with any of the like, implications that kind of genre would have. It's just, oh, it's a Marvel movie, so they're gonna go do their other thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't really fully commit in a way.
Right. No, exactly right. And
so
I think
it feels hollow.
Well, all this to say, in this show, Ewoks, we've got Paul Dini, who is like pure trope, right? And he's engaging with the characters and giving them things to do and stuff, but he's very much got a sense of Star Wars, even in the Ewok show, that I sort of gel with. And this other guy, Bob Caro, even though I think Dave Filoni's probably a little better at nailing Star Wars than this guy is.
He gets Star Wars better, for sure.
Like things like the Jindas and stuff like that feels much more like an episode of the Clone Wars or Rebels than it does something that would be on Star Tours.
It's just bizarre choice-wise that they have one guy set up a world and then they kill that off. They literally set up like a evil sorceress versus good guy thing and a light dark and then they
end multiple factions.
Yes, like, and then it
she
stops.
Has her own situation, and then they have the other dudes that are like sort of working for her, but like
the spider riding gremlin
it's
looking
like
dudes. Yeah,
how like Saruman is like a similar but different faction from
it kind of feels like honestly like the Last Jedi into Rise of Skywalker, where you're getting like the denouement for the people who were thinking about this as like just a story that doesn't have any sort of like personal feeling. What's the best move for the characters independent from the audience, right? Versus like a totally children, like in this case, it's a children's show type, you know, feel. And so you get a finale for the people that were like looking at Ewoks,
like
the show, as a myth.
Four episodes in, it's crazy.
I guess, yeah, it's like it's mythological. The first series of episodes are not perfect, but like I was really taken by the art. They like lighting, especially, and this is cool. And they build up like the colors, mythos, yeah, and spirituality. There's the idea of like the sunstone and the night, which sort of echo the light side and the dark, yep, side. There's like all of this kind of stuff.
And how they were one stone originally. I'm like, that's,
yeah,
cool
it,
as hell. There's,
yeah,
something
it has like
each
it has
Ewok
like
tied to a tree. Like
it reminds me of like Gargoyles is like a show, mm-hmm, that was like, you guys went so much harder than you had to for, it's like Shakespeare, you know, like, but like a kid's show. And then they just dump all of that.
They barely play with the pieces.
For like,
yeah, they
just
barely
like
play with the pieces.
The weird circus people that make no sense. Even their like backstory makes no sense.
Legendas, yeah.
And then it's thrown in. And then you have the other, like you just have a bunch of things that are incredibly not Star Wars, and that I don't believe that they like are baked into it.
Let me just really quick, we'll just go through it because we're not gonna, just spoilers, we're not gonna go through each episode of this. It's not worth it. We're just gonna talk about the overarching situation, and that's gonna be fine.
Looking back at it, there's only three stories told,
right,
over the course of 12 episodes?
Right. If you want to go watch us react literally to all of it, for 1 month, go pay $10 and go check out the Patreon or whatever it is, $15. I don't know what it is. Go sign up for Patreon and watch us watch the whole thing if you really want to see us go through each episode. I just want to say the setup is we've got the Ewoks from the movies. I don't remember what we decided on the chronology. I believe it has been shifted even in the old canon once. I believe
it's before.
It's before the movies. The Ewoks.
Which are before.
It's before Return of the Jedi?
Return of the Jedi, yeah.
Okay, so it's before any films.
That's from my understanding.
Yeah. So you've got the Ewok This Generation family starring Wicket, who's got Tebow as his friend, who's like going to be the next like priest type Ewok. And then you've got...
Who's like the coolest guy.
And he then, is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got Princess Nissa, who's going to like be the next like mayor of the Ewoks.
I have already forgotten all their names.
And then you've got the other girl who is in love with
Tebow. Who's like hippie.
Yeah,
who like loves Tebow?
She's like into Tebow, and she plays music. So she's like
bad at it, or
no? She's
they
just
never like give her really good.
Yeah,
shot.
She can play the flute. It just gets broken halfway through the show. But she's like the artsy one, right? So it's like kind of like an 80s cartoon in that way.
Just to confirm this, because it is super convoluted, the movies take place 3 years after the Battle of Yavin, right between Empire and Return of the Jedi, and the animated series is a prequel to the movies.
To the Star Wars films?
No, to the Ewok films.
So they take place after the Battle of Yavin.
I don't know about the animated series, because there's no time.
It doesn't
but
really
it's
matter.
Before
yeah.
the
yeah.
movies, which the two movies, Battle for Endor and all that stuff, takes place before we get into the actual Return of the Jedi.
So Wicket has never met Princess Leia, nor has he met Sindel Tawani.
So any jokes we make about them being like, what about 3PO? Nope, sorry, that's not their god yet.
Yeah, okay, so... So
that's why they need a new god, because they destroyed the light and dark stone.
But we talked about it during the watch tour, where it's like, this doesn't make like, they have a pretty well-defined pantheon here that they would think of 3PO as a god is like very weird.
It does.
Also, that they like are so friendly to
they
like
built
90
out,
other species.
They didn't
the
know.
Answers, they don't connect.
They didn't
to
know they were
going to
build. They didn't know
right.
they were going to build out
it's
the mythos
like,
of the Ewoks.
It's
like
just like they're very like friendly people. And then when we see them in the movies, they like want to kill and eat our main characters immediately.
Right. So
hard times. Empire came in, took all their
the show. I don't want to like go deep into those two things because they didn't put that much thought when
they
made the show.
They were one note in the movie, and then they needed to make them the spirits of
the
forest.
The villains
moon.
Are literal Grinches.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Okay. Hold on. So let me get the Ewoks down first.
That's what they are.
So the Ewoks, you got the main team of four. right? You've got Nisa, Wicket,
Donatello,
Tebow, and Flute Girl, who I can't remember her name. It's like Kasara or something like that.
And she is in love with
Tebow.
She's in love with Tebow, for real.
And then there's the kids.
And then there's a baby Ewok girl.
There's three baby Ewoks, but one of them is featured way more.
Yeah. First of all, respect her. In the first episode, she gets her hood.
It's her hood, you're right.
Signifying she's not a cubbling or whatever.
Well, she's baby Bop. She's baby Bop. So she's younger than the main character.
And she's in love with
Wicked. She's a tween. This is, and they're young teens.
They're supposed to be like the Stranger Things kids. And then this kid, this other girl is like, she's too young to go on the adventures. She kind of ends up on some of the adventures, but she's supposed to be like, shut up, little girl. You don't know what you're talking about. And she likes Wicket also, like Amy Rose.
Her whole character is literally, I love you, Wicket.
Yeah. And then you have also Wicket.
It's very male gazey. I think it's pretty problematic.
No, it is not.
I don't know. That one Ewok had like, they put eyeshadow on her for some reason.
Asha?
They gave her like the eyes, and
sister, the princess's sister.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. So you've got in the
when
village.
You're all fur creatures.
You the eyes are all you got.
The way that they like differentiate
their pussies
hilarious.
Are their eyes. Yeah.
That's okay. Not where I'm going. I don't stand by that. That
I think that's what you said.
I'm pretty sure that's what
I'm
you said.
Pretty sure Michael Davis said that.
Yeah, that was not me. So there's that situation with the Ewoks, and then Wicket also has two siblings who are like the dumb one, the hungry one and the strong one.
That's his cousin.
No, one of them is his brother. No, they're his brothers.
No, the tough one is his brother.
Yeah.
The tough one's mom is his Aunt Drizzy, who is not called Aunt Drizzy, but remember,
yes.
Once I've locked in,
yes.
I can't forget it.
But one of them.
So they are cousins.
Well, one is a brother.
And he's the one that like.
He has two older brothers, though.
One
right?
is a brother and one is a cousin. And they are like the Warriors Three. They are like, just, they go everywhere together, and they are like the Ninja Turtles.
To be clear, none of that is really established till after the first arc.
No, yeah.
Because the first arc has all these characters doing all these different things, and then later on, they just phase out half the characters
all
and
of
stick
these
to
characters,
like one specific group.
All of these characters, by the way, though, are actual, I think, to a man, or maybe just a few new ones, are all in the movie, named.
Yes.
They all represent actual Ewoks from the film.
Oh.
For the most part. Interesting. So that's why there's a lot in the first one. And then you kind of like through the plot of the first little in media res story, you kind of meet your heroes and stuff. And you meet what was, I think, supposed to be a much more like background town cast of characters also. But you've got Lo Grey, who's important because he is the sort of like Obi-Wan Kenobi type,
yes.
like sort of bumbling sorcerer, wise man
so
character.
Much, he actually is an important character in yeah. that first arc. And then again,
he does have like Merlin out. In the like, Disney's.
That's exactly who he is.
Is Merlin yeah. in the tales also kind of like a neurodivergent?
No, he's like a
mess?
Scary wizard.
Okay,
but he's a lot of things. There's a lot of different stories.
Is Merlin a neurodivergent?
Like
mess?
Like that's the best way I feel like modern. What you can look at him is like shit. His house is like he's like a hoarder, except for he knows where things are and it's all magical.
It's like my actual life.
So you watch.
I didn't
want to
say
Stone.
Alex because, but he is you.
There's. I'll take that. There's the chief who's Nisa's dad. I forget his
Suburban
name, but it's the same chief from the movie. And then there's like a Karen-ass Aunt Drizzy, who is not called Aunt Drizzy, who is like got like hair. She's like the neighbor from Bewitched, but she's an Ewok.
Yes.
And then
she's
so
the
that's,
most sitcom.
Yeah. So that's the Ewoks. They have their religion, like we just said. They have the stones that once were one stone that broke into the light stone, the dark stone. Each Ewok's soul is tied to a tree in the forest somewhere. And if the tree dies, the Ewok dies kind of thing.
Because they just said...
That's like maybe their myth,
I don't know
maybe
they,
true.
I don't know they say that, but for sure, each Ewok has their own
they do,
soul
they
tree.
They do talk about but when the tree dies, it means something, but I don't know if it's actually literally true or if it's just their religion.
Superstition,
yeah. Yeah. So there's them. And then also on Endor, there's another race. There's the Ewoks and the Duloks. And if you think about the Ewoks as the guardians of the Light Stone, you could think of the Duloks as the guardians
they're
of the Dark
not,
Stone.
They're not, though.
I think that's where they were headed at one point, but it didn't end up there.
It's just also funny because the Duloks aren't even related to that stone
basically,
beyond being ordered to chase them by the lady that's not a Dulok, right?
Yeah, basically the Duloks are like the swamp people to the Ewoks tree people, and they're like grimy, dirty pirates, basically. And they have a chief.
They look like the Grinch who stole
yeah,
Christmas.
Yeah, they do. And the two dumbass ones are X and O, and they have a chief who has like football pads on.
They have a guy whose name is Shaman, who literally has his job.
Yeah, Shaman is like a Goldar, like Finster.
Yes.
Yeah, and
I wonder if it's like when somebody becomes like a doctor and they're kind of like an asshole. So like, call me doctor. And you're like, all right, Phil.
And they're more
like, no, I have earned the rank of shaman. So call me shaman.
And the Duloks, right, the Duloks really just want to get one over on the Ewoks. I don't really think they're
evil. Not even that lethal.
They're not evil. They just
want to like prank
them.
Yeah.
They just kind of want to like maybe take over their town. It's very like,
like their schemes are literally, oh, there's all these Dulok babies. Let's kidnap an Ewok and make her babysit them. Yeah, look, that's their evil schemes.
Yeah. But then there's also Morgoth or something like that, who is like a sorcerer who lives in the woods, who has the Darkstone and uses it to do magic.
And she hates the Ewoks, but mostly low grade because, and I think we can all agree on this, they definitely were an item back in the day.
Oh, they banged. They banged.
Yeah, she was like a sorceress and he was like her
servant.
Her servant, and then he learned from her and then left.
She taught him, and then it turned out that he decided she was evil. And so he fought back and took the light stone, et cetera, et cetera.
He broke up with her, took half of the property with the light stone.
That should have been the driving engine.
She was like, I hate this man.
Then also has her own force of minions that then also ride grotesque spider mounts. Like, so her whole situation is fucking crazy.
She is a real threat.
She's scary as shit to me.
She's evil. She has Nazgul, but they're not like conscious. They're like drones. They're like scary, but they're not like, they don't talk and stuff. And then sometimes she enlists.
Kind of makes them scarier.
Yeah, but she enlists as like her putties, the Duloks, the Grinches.
Yes.
So that is that to me is when the show is working its best, is when they're her dumb henchmen. She has her scary henchmen. There's like machinations. There's mythology going on. But then they just.
That lasts four episodes.
They wrap that up at the end of an arc.
It's crazy.
And then the next arc
They didn't even feel like it was building to that climax.
No.
They just were like, this is the important episode where we like lock it all off.
Then the next arc is like some traveling performers are in town, and that lasts like just as long of a story arc. And there's like giants that come at one point, and there's like a love potion arc where like, oh, they give a giant a love potion and they falls in love with an Ewok. That's too big. Like, that's an episode, and, you know, we get all this stuff, and then...
Filler.
Yeah,
it's all filler, and then when they try to establish story for, like... Remember that one time that traveling circus said they had to keep traveling?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to explain it in this one episode, but it's going to be insane. It's going to be rocks chase them...
But don't kill them.
Just chase them because a sorcerer made of rock...
Lost his tooth.
Which they used to feed him. And they don't even say that he like chipped his tooth while eating their food.
No.
He just lost a tooth and randomly decided that they were the villain.
Yeah.
Like it's not even well thought out.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
That's the beginning of it. Then there's like a whole episode of antics entirely unrelated to it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we gotta solve that.
Yeah, and that's kind of the deal with the sort of Care Bear Guys episodes, is they're very much like, probably, I would say like the brain smoothiness factor is like pretty high. Like, it's just very like tropey episodes that don't really have anything to do with anything. Oh, I want to be this, but I need to like get something. And, you know, I think probably in some way, knowing what I know about American children's entertainment, there was probably some sort of like edict on what you could write episodes about. Like, maybe you bring Paul Dini in to like actually make a good show, but then you bring this other guy in to write the like, oh, this one's about teamwork. This one's about...
Every episode at least had like a message or a moral and an arc, in the way that like in Droids, I bet if we looked at every arc, you're like, okay, yes, by the end of four episodes, there is something. But in this one, every episode had an arc. So at the very least, there was some sense of like, okay, we've gained something. Like,
the writer's
it might be
room,
stupid.
The writer's room
least,
was better on.
But for me,
Ewoks.
That at least makes it feel like there was a point to something, even if it's not a good one.
And then at the end of the season, after we settle the arc, we get one more episode at the end. It's clearly a Paul Dini episode where he again dives into the story, where it's like, back in the day, there was a moment when Princess Nisa and her father and her sister were out in the woods and something terrible happened and she got separated from her sister and the sister like
forced
lives
to live on her own
lives dude. Out in the wild like Mowgli and becomes like a superhero who fights like Princess Mononoke for the animals
and the only
dude,
way
and
to
they
track
have
her?
Our guy they have yeah. our axe guy from the movies come back
Chuck-a-truck.
But even he's like she like does circles around him
he's like her mentor he's like her Obi-Wan Kenobi except she's like Batman level at fighting. And so like,
it's like Happy Hogan and Scarlett Johansson in, in Iron Man 2.
Yeah. It's exactly, it's like good stuff. It's like neat stuff that like, it's not a 10.
Which
right?
is funny because I think they were like, weren't you hypothesizing? You're like, this must be them being like, okay, for next season, now we're going to have like a new cool character that's going to do shit.
Yes.
And then it sounds like from that,
I think that theme song you showed me. I think the show low-key got rebooted after the first season for some reason. But as a whole, I feel like Ewoks season one is like a microcosm of like Star Wars so far. Like it's crazy. It's like this push and this pull.
I think Star Wars to come as well.
Oh my God, yes.
Like again, there are three arcs and the first arc is like so solid and it's really good like foundation. The
second arc, it's a kid show. So like, it's not like gripping like The Wire.
But it's
like
for what it is pretty good.
Yeah, like compelling. You invest.
And then you have this middle section that is clearly like a like moral of the week kind of vibe, and it's not very well put together. No. And then the last bit is them clearly trying to find something where we have part of this like, you know, the Red Death or whatever the hell she was called.
Yeah.
And but then also antics that are like the one where the big lady falls in love with the Ewok, like that kind of thing. And it's crammed together in the weirdest way possible. And at the same time, you know, it's where they introduce this character. It's like, I'm a badass. I live in the woods. I hunt bad guys. I'm like a stone cold killer. They're, everyone's afraid of me. But the people she's hunting are the Duloks who are like, whoa, this lady's terrifying. And so you can't even take them seriously because like, how are they a threat to anyone? So when she's like, I hunt them and I take them out, it's like, well, that seems unfair to the Duloks.
Yeah. She whips their asses all day.
It's like in Droids where you like mind mess with the like Kylo Ren's or Kybo Ren's like not fully mentally equipped guy and like, like gave him night terrors. And I don't know. It's just like, what the fuck? Like, you're, that's not cool, dude.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Sebulba, he's 9. Chill, dude.
Sebulba is...
Don't flick your death stick at him.
Sebulba is just a winner, and he's rich, and he doesn't have time for children, okay? Sebulba, place to win. Sebulba, speed racer character.
Not just children, child slaves.
He doesn't know... There's no morals like that. He's from a different planet.
He probably has, like, 85 kids. You know what I mean?
Who knows?
All of his legs are also arms. Like he's
probably
operating on a different frequency.
Probably makes his own house out of his poop. Like we don't know. Like that might be fine. You know what I mean? What for Frank Sinatra is a steak dinner?
My Sebulba.
I'm just saying.
Star Wars Galactic lives in a house made of his own poop.
Star Wars Galactic Racer is coming out, and it's going to be
my Sebulba.
That's my Ford versus Ferrari. The point is, when you go from being a story that's good, that everybody likes,
what if
a brand.
Sebulba actually, like, his culture is like, the people that you respect, you do it by being a dick. Like,
it's very possible.
You're like, whoa, no. That I was being mean to him is like a sign that he's worth something. Like, he's worth me spending energy on.
Was he a villain? No, we loved it.
Michael Jordan was a dick?
Dude, are you kidding me?
A super dick.
He was like, I'm going to beat you. He'd be like, keep an eye on the score, bitch. And he'd like clown on people. You know who else was a dick? Larry Bird. One of the biggest dicks of all time.
Yeah. Notorious shit talker. Yeah.
He's a sport because he's a champion. Because he's a winner.
Yeah. He would get in their heads. I feel like Sebulba doing this.
Sebulba is just, and he's
a murderer. Look, when you're like playing against somebody, there's a difference between your he's their competitor.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Plus, he's a child. If
Davis, that's why I'm like, usually athletes to children are always like, super great.
Right.
You're right that his rival is this.
You know who was wrong?
Which again is not cool for him.
You know what was wrong?
But like,
you know
if a kid showed up to race you, if you were in a race and you're like the best of the best, and then a new entrance, a child, I'd be like, why are you letting a child in
this? I'd be like, he's a slave.
There are no rules.
Anakin's a slave.
Can we see the.
The villain is whoever signed up a 9-year-old boy for a blood sport.
Which I think was the 9-year-old boy, technically.
I think it was
He really wanted to be a part of it.
I don't think so. I think it was the blue guy who wanted to make some money, right?
Like, well, it's a blood sport, but as we know, midichlorians reside in your blood and are testable, so really.
Also, reminder, racing for his freedom.
That's true. And his mother. Oh, no. No, not his mother.
His mother continues to be a slave and then is sold to a man and gets married
to him. The reason Darth Vader exists is because he didn't ask for enough when he won the fucking Boonta Eve Classic. You ever think about that?
That he won, like, the biggest race? Wait.
He asked for one slave?
When you win, like, Like Jabba shows up. Yeah. This is like the Indy 500. Like there's like millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah, what's the
ABC, baby. He messed up. Always be pod racing. All right, look. Don't get me distracted from my point. My point is
that there's high APR.
The Ewoks era, the shitty era that we're in right now, right? We're almost out of it. We're only two more episodes left of it after this, which is good. But it is the growing pains.
Tell you, I'm still loving every, like, it's even when the droids watching was the toughest.
Right.
And the Ewoks is not where I want to be. But even with like the comics, the Marvel ones, which I was ready to be, we got that fucking awesome, a couple of those arcs and the art, like,
yeah. And I just want to say, like, Star Wars was at one point a story, right? And then it was a story with a spinoff, right? And then it was a story with a spinoff and a comic book. And now it's a brand, right? Now it's starting to become, there's a theme park ride now. This is something that they're deciding to try and inject with new life, not just ride the train out on, right? And at that point, when you have other interests besides, I have an idea for a story motivating you, you know, Ewoks is a product before it's a before it's a project now. This is a money-making scheme from the beginning now because we're trying to capitalize on Star Wars to make something.
Weird that they went this direction, though.
Yeah.
You know, like they said, oh, let's make droids and let's make Ewoks. There must have, I feel like there had to have been some sort of like.
His name is Hollywood. George.
No, but like.
And he loves Dave Filoni.
Something from Hollywood that said, hey, we'll pay for X if you make a kid's show. You know what I mean?
Well, from George Lucas's perspective, right? I think he thought that making kids entertainment was like morally good. And I think that he was saving, because the thing about him, he's a maverick. He's Fog City, dude. He's like Clint Eastwood or Charlie Chaplin or somebody like that, where he did not play games in the studio system. He got his merchandising rights from Jump. He was rich immediately. He had lightning in a bottle and he was the god of it. He was the king of the mafia, right? He could do anything. He had
He went to Marin to like not be part of Hollywood.
Yeah. And because he did that, I think that the weirdness of it being Ewoks and droids has more to do with him sort of being cagey with letting there be more Star Wars that wasn't made by George Lucas right away. I think by going like, you can have Ewoks and droids and do some shit with that. I think he was just dipping his toe in the water. And I think with fucking Star Tours, that was the first time that he felt like maybe there was a chance that maybe it was time to start making some new stuff. Because from his perspective, even though Star Tours is not like the most amazing Star Wars experience ever, from his perspective, it's him working with like Disney to make a ride at Disneyland where, you know, his legendary rides from his childhood are. So I think, you know, at that point when he's like, you know, I do have plans for the next movies, whatever, whatever. I think that he didn't want to let it get away from him before he got his chance.
And I think Star Tours to me is like, nailing the brief. I don't know. It's like for a ride.
Star Tours.
Yeah, yes, there's like a wacky robot. Like it's a little bit dumbed down, but the original one was like a treat to go on.
Yeah,
like,
and you know,
like the technology felt real being in it. And then like, I don't know what there's limited things you can do with a ride.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he liked it too, because right afterwards they turned around and made fucking, what's it called, with Francis Ford Coppola and Michael Jackson.
EO?
Yeah, like Lucas was like, I can do the AAA myself. I can do it. And so when they went in and did Star Wars again,
myself.
He had enough money and enough
rhyme.
He had enough money and confidence to completely redefine movies.
Can I just really quickly, I don't think I've shared on this podcast, but I think I told you guys this. Last time I was at Disney, I went on Star Tours. And it broke in the most like glorious way. I don't know what happened, but when the beginning, right, a character shows up to stop you, be like, hey, Star Tours. It was Vader? Darth Vader, but he had the voice of Kylo Ren. It was very weird. Then
did you get into Ben Solo's dreams?
It was insane. So it was Darth Vader, he had Kylo Ren's voice. And then as we launch out, it is us leaving the base, and then we go to Hoth. I'm like, okay, we're on Hoth. This is weird. And then Yoda appears on screen, like the
so it was like full on busted.
Yoda appears on screen and is like, in the Mandalorian's voice, is like, I need you guys to go check on this thing. I'm like, what is happening? Then we go from Hoth to I think it was Geonosis, wherever the Death Star location is.
Yeah.
And then we fly through the Death Star while Yoda Mandalorian talks to us. I was like, this is insane.
What the fuck?
And then it ended with us back in the future. How does that even break like that? I have no idea.
Did you take any shrooms or anything before you got on this? That sounds like a cool seed.
There were multiple people there with us all being like, what is happening?
By the way, welcome to like what a Jedi has to deal with when they're like future visioning or fucking
Superman,
Atreides.
Superman
like imagine
floating.
You just have all these realities in your head. It's not so easy, is it?
Well, I think, you know, weird angle
to proselytize from.
You know how sometimes
you fucking normies with your just A to B timelines.
You know, how sometimes they have one where it like breaks down when you're on it. So like, I wondered if this was just another variation of that.
Some kind of strange.
Or do the faculties have like a party shuffle mode where they're like, all right,
no
park's closed. Let's do
the fucked up version.
Load up a Yodalorian. Literally, it was Yoda, but it wasn't the Mandalorian.
Are you sure?
Like Yoda. It was just Yoda, but then he was just like, all right, it's me.
Are you sure it wasn't just Grogu learning how to speak from Pedro Pascal?
You know what? That's what it was.
A glimpse into a Star Wars future.
Look, also, speaking of which, I don't care what anyone says. I love those fucking Babu Frick guys.
I love them.
I love them. I need them in more stuff. Dude, they're great.
The way they
like Babu Frick.
The little tiny guy.
He erased C-3PO's memory.
He's the little tiny guy.
Smaller than Yoda.
What movie was he in?
Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
Hey, Babu Frick.
I watched it one time.
Bro.
They're little tiny, like a furry looking.
They look like little
trolley guys.
They're little old men in goggles that are good at
tech. In Mandalorian, there's four of them.
Yeah.
And when they're like, come on, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, come I love these guys.
When he's like, guys, they got me. They fucking got me. They got me, bro. Help.
Sound like the what are the red people?
Come
like
on,
the fuck boys that are like following Leia around in the comics.
Oh my god,
Zoltons. Dude, I think he's actually hurt, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like straight up.
But imagine those, they're like,
don't worry, we'll be back for you.
Like just imagine that as their voice.
Okay,
same vibe.
All right.
They rule.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's also the voice.
I cannot remember this guy in the movie.
That's
so
also
I have no bad vibes.
Moaning Myrtle from Harry Potter is that
yes,
voice.
Yes, is that why this Babu picture? Frick. Yeah. Whatever that species is called, that's the kind of stuff.
Cute. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I want more of if you're going to do silly.
That's the thing that's frustrating. That's so the frustrating cute. Thing about Ewok season one.
Yes, they're amazing.
It's like when my older niece holds my younger niece.
He's looking
There's
at Grogu.
There's a picture of Grogu holding.
You got to see this movie. You got to see this movie, bro.
Look at this guy.
Maybe you are healed. Maybe we have rehabilitated
him.
Yeah,
we got him.
Maybe he is.
Look at his little. He got a little Fu Manchu.
Maybe he's not a hater anymore.
I'm telling you, those are my new favorite Star Wars things.
It's
those guys
been long
rule.
Enough that I don't give a like. This isn't real to me anymore. Now I'm just looking at like visual.
But this is amazing. But this is amazing because it kind of underlines.
You almost sold me on watching it and also just being like, oh, I've never read the comics. This is the tone of the
comics. Just go watch it. It's good.
The ship.
You guys act like I have free time.
Davis, the ship they fly around.
Between all of the time I'm spending doing stuff and the rest of the time where I'm just at home,
planned out fun.
I don't have time.
Planned out fun is free time that you already used.
True.
Wait, what?
Or wait, hold on.
Don't
double feature
mind games. What are you saying?
Double feature Mandalorian Disclosure Day.
There you go. Perfect alien.
I have no interest in seeing Disclosure Day.
Dude, you should.
I hear it's awesome.
It's supposed to be like a 10 out of 10 best Spielberg in like two decades. Doesn't that move you? He made Jurassic Park
and
E.T.
Sorry. That was a weird reaction. I'm actually the reverse of that. I watched Close Encounters. I don't know what I was thinking. I watched Close Encounters and I was like, as an adult for the first time,
help me,
flying
everyone.
Back from Chicago or whatever for your guys' is the Chulamanati thing. Mm-hmm.
You got it.
And I was like, and because I've now watched enough episodes, I was like, oh my God, this is like, as a kid, I don't think I understood what was going on enough. It was weird. Like, it was upsetting to me.
It is scary.
And it is upsetting.
It's a scary movie.
But it's
movie.
Supposed
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
And it's so good that I'm like, I want to see this.
Spielberg? Is this guy good? Wait, okay, so.
I hear things.
My point is, the frustrating thing about Star Wars.
About Spielberg.
Here's the frustrating Spielberg, thing about Ewoks. The frustrating thing about all this. Babu Frick, everybody. There is something good about that stupid bullshit in Star Wars. At the core of the stupid bullshit, at the core of the Babu Frick, at the core of the Porgs, of the Ewoks, of the Sebulbas, of the Jar Jars, there is something about that that I like. I like that stupid Pee Wee Herman robot on Star Tours.
I don't dislike it either, but I think that the big difference, at least for me, and I bet people probably, there's some people that probably feel that way, is whether it's in-universe or like whether it's like winking outside of it. Like there's so much comedy in the original trilogy, but it is all in-character, in-universe. I listened to the, what's her face? Oh my God, she's in Best in Show and she's in...
Selma Blair.
With a P. She's like the 90s indie movie queen.
Penelope Cruz.
My brain is
Parker
dying.
Posey.
Parker Posey. And she was talking about like working with Christopher Guest and stuff and how like when she was first doing it, like she was trying to be funny and then he was like, no, like watch people.
Act, yeah.
People are like kind of insane. If you just like study people, everybody's like a little insane. And the point is just to be that character. Don't try and be funny. Just be that character as genuinely as you can and funniness will emerge. And I think that's like when something feels truly real, the like moments that I love of Chewie, who you can't understand, but having a very real moment, like the parka that I always talk about.
You're so
stuff.
Brave, Chewie. Yes,
because,
wow.
Because people in real life, when big things are happening, have really human moments that are funny. There are, when it gets to like prequel era, there's like that kind of Star Wars where I think it veers too far out of the realm. Like you're like, this is too much, too weird. It doesn't pass muster, at least for me. But yeah. If you can make it make sense, Han Solo, like doing the movie theater for those like bug people, it's absurd, but it entirely, they built it to make sense for his character. And so you get the wackiest circumstance that is also real for the situation.
So the point is.
So do a little bit of work. And
now that we, now that we all are on this page, I think what I can say that I've learned from this horrible time in our show that, you know, Jesse was like, obviously we have to do it, but Jesse's right, right? This is absolutely.
Looking back, this period will rank just like in reality as the darkest time for Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've, except for maybe now, right? But I think Mandalorian and Grogu is pretty good, actually.
I would say now is depends on who you ask,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
There's a lot
bigger,
of people.
It's bigger than one thing now, yeah.
There's a lot of people who love what Star Wars is right now. But it's just.
I think I have the, like, I guess we have the privilege of being born at the perfect time
for us.
Like, in Star Wars history, I don't think I would choose to be born any other, like, the way that I got introduced to Star Wars, and then they started to be, like, air, like, all these things, like, it was, I, like, got a perfect time to be in there, where, like, mm-hmm. they were cooking with the expanded universe in a way that they don't do anymore.
Well, there's millions of people who prefer Revenge of the Sith to Heir to the Empire, too. That's the thing that's interesting now, right? Because
I guess there are people
seeing,
that prefer McDonald's.
Well, no,
to
we're seeing
a better thing, but that
we're
doesn't
seeing
mean...
the birth of that now, right? And I think the thing is with this Ewok shit, right? Is like I am seeing, at least by going and seeing Mandalorian and Grogu and going and watching these Ewoks so close to each other, I think that Star Wars has something to it where a lot of the fans want to blame the goofy shit for Star Wars being bad. They want to say that the thing that's bad about Star Wars is when they brought in the goofy shit. And I don't think that's true. I think that the goofy shit was the original scapegoat for things besides creativity driving Star Wars. Things like corporate influence, marketing.
The same people that love Revenge of the Sith, a lot of people that don't like think critically about media because they don't make it their life in the way that
they were marketed
we do.
To better about.
But
it.
They're like,
that's a product for them.
Or it's like people seeing a person of color as a lead and just blaming something for that. Where
losing
it's like
their minds.
You're like, no, that's the like most visual element. But the like that person is not the creator of this thing. It's like who is making it. What they're making, the writing of it, the way that it is, like you're just picking surface level details and thinking that like, yeah, again, the silliness.
Or you have an agenda.
Sure, but it's like the silliness might seem like that, but silliness has been in there always.
It's
like, what is the, what go deeper. What is the thing behind that?
It's very much similar to, in a lot of ways, like the Snyder cult, right? Like,
is that even real?
Yes.
Weren't a bunch of them just robots,
dude,
on the internet?
Dude.
Also, dead internet theory? That's been fucking like, with my mind,
I'm not
guys.
Gonna, I'm not going to, listen, forget about that right now. That's
don't
such
worry
a,
about the fact that there's actually no one on the internet.
I don't know how my brain works.
That's such a huge concept.
I don't have the luxury of forgetting stuff.
We'll talk about the dead internet theory on some show that I do someday eventually for sure, for
did
real.
Did you already do it?
A little, but there's way more to talk about. But that aside, there is a Snyder cult out there who shows up and loves to talk shit on anything besides their version of the films. And the thing about it is...
Where were they for all of the rest of his stuff?
Well, but here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Batman, Superman, all those guys, there's a set of people out there who needed that version of those guys to feel a certain way. Like, I didn't have ultimately negative things to say about Man of Steel, right? Like as its own film. I didn't have only...
It had no soul.
I didn't have... Just... I'm not trying to
the
get...
The trailer was the best Superman
I'm not
movie
to,
ever made.
I'm not trying to dump on it. I'm just saying...
Go watch trailer three.
It's yeah, not,
trailer
it's three not is beautiful. It's not a stinking pile of shit, that movie, right? It's not a horrible film. It's... Same thing with Batman versus Superman. It's not a horrible film. It's just that...
I think that Batman v Superman is a significantly worse... Man of Steel literally to me just
even
like...
Even trying to compare
doesn't
them.
Get the vibe.
I'm not even trying to compare them.
Batman
I'm just
Superman
saying
is like...
In an era where I was... Those were my superhero movies of my favorite superheroes. I wasn't sitting there being like, I hate the world. I hate God. I hate everything because the movies aren't the way that I like them. Right? And part of that is because... The comic book versions are still there, and I'm a normal person, so I can go back and watch the other versions of these characters that I still like more. Doesn't matter. I'm not tied to it in that way. But there is a group of people who tie their identity to this shit, right? And so in Star Wars, it's even more visceral than it is with comics. And I was talking about this a little bit this morning, and maybe – I don't know where I was talking about this besides. Maybe on here. I don't know. But we're talking about the difference between superhero movies and Star Wars movies. Where
we talk about them probably every episode.
But the difference is that
one is one universe, the other is like a take.
Well, but it's not just the take, it's the fact that when you change it, it's changed.
Yeah, that's like this is the canon. So you change it and it's now changed.
Like
Superman is like, great, we'll just do another writer and a different version, a different take.
Right, right. But so when Ewoks comes out, it's not just challenging the people who maybe don't want to see a fucking show about a bunch of dumb teddy bears, but it's also challenging the people it was almost like a Last Jedi situation for you in some way, right? You see something that happens in the true canon that doesn't jive with your understanding of it.
Oh, I treated this not at all as related.
Well,
I can joke about how, mostly saying, because imagine, from a creative standpoint, it feels as though they didn't really try to make it, like once we got to the Care Bear stuff, you're like, now you're just like, freewheel. Now we're just
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like,
but I'm not like I don't really care.
But if you're a Star Wars movie viewer in the 80s and you love these movies and the coolness factor of the movies is very important to you, and to you being Star Wars is being the cool thing that you think is cool, that you need to be cool. Maybe you didn't watch fucking the Ewok movies on Thanksgiving because you were watching football, right? Or something else that was on TV on that day, so you didn't watch those movies. But the show is like on. It defines Star Wars for people for a while. It creates ire. It creates negativity. It creates something that you go, that's not my.
This is, it's like super interesting the way you put that, because when you think about where we are reading, which is Star Wars as a trilogy is over, and we are sort of like in the detritus of the aftermath
yes,
of that.
We don't know that it's going to keep going.
And yeah, we have no clue. And what's interesting, I think, about that is in the space during this time and into the 90s, George was like, don't touch anything that has to do that could even affect what I want to tell story-wise. So you can like play around with shit, right. But like the expanded universe is not canon. George is like, it's cool. I love that, but it's not canon.
I'm going to let you know right now. It's never going to figure into what I do.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because now in 2026, even though the new trilogy didn't end the same way, with like, you know, a lot of love, it did end. And the place we're playing in right now is kind of that like aftermath detritus where we can't do anything new moving forward. everything's stuck in that weird period either before, actually, we're purposefully stuck in the before of the new prequels, and or they do...
Nobody has the nuts to be like, number 10.
Yeah, like, that's not... So we're, so we're stuck in this weird space where we can't do anything that took... We can't go up to the prequel or to the sequels. We can't touch that yet. And we can't go beyond that. So we're stuck in this weird space, and nothing is happening of real value.
Most, in the most loved time of Star Wars. In the most wanted and beloved time period of Star Wars that exists.
Yeah.
You can't do anything.
We're just stuck right there. And you can't tell any, like even Mandalorian, it's a movie. It's a movie. And it just feels like three back-to-back episodes because they can't really tell a story.
Yeah.
Because Solo, they don't want to mess with
Solo. Like almost becomes, oh, we almost recast Han Solo, but we didn't actually recast Han Solo because he ages up into Harrison Ford. And so he doesn't look like that anymore.
And but like, and then you have Filoni's weird movie that he was going to try to make where he's telling the Ahsoka story. And he's like, ah, I'm bringing Thrawn back, which cool. Thrawn's great. But in the timeline they've created where they've contained him, basically the story he has is Thrawn returns, the Empire's going to make a comeback, but not significantly enough that it's mentioned in the sequels. Which is like, we're stuck in this moment. I feel like in 1985, same vibe. They're stuck in a moment, and it takes them...
I had to reverse engineer the MCU timeline so that like all of Phase 1 is in 1 week.
Yeah.
You're like,
huh?
And they call it like Nick Fury's like crazy week or whatever. Yeah. You're like,
yes.
Okay. Sure.
And you, and it sucks because you can see they're confining themselves because they don't know what their next move is. Same with when George was like, I don't know what I'm going to do next.
You're like, really? Ewoks? That's what we're doing?
Yeah.
That's, but this is the first time that happened. Nobody's mad about a book. Nobody's mad about what choices they make in a comic. That's not the thing.
I do also think that's intentional. Like, the Ewoks were, it sounds like, pretty controversial when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he like probably knew like, go ahead and do something with that because like people aren't going to be, I'm curious if we can find if like when they announced that there would be like TV kids movies that Ewok stuff, were people like pissed or people even think
we
about
didn't
it?
See
I think
it.
George doesn't give a rat's ass because what we saw when we read Aftermath is that literally they put it, so everyone's like, I hate Jar Jar. And George is like, I love Jar Jar. Screw y'all. And then the book, there's literally like a scathing review. Remember in Aftermath where it's like Jar Jar becomes a clown and the children love him, but adults hate him.
Yep.
And Jar Jar lives his like best life in Aftermath.
Yeah.
Like that's their review of the character. Like, we don't care. Kids loved him, so
they like,
screw you.
They like legislate. They're like, here was the point of this clown. But yeah. Doctor, I am Jar Jar Binks. Like, it really was like, it really do be like that. And Ahmed Best, like, became Jar Jar Binks also. Like, yeah. Really then, weird, cosmic.
And then they gave him more roles in Star Wars. In I think it was Ahsoka, but in, no matter what, he literally comes back as a Jedi.
Yeah, not Jar Jar.
Ahmed Best comes back into canon as a Jedi and one of the important ones who saves a bunch of kids.
So he doesn't have to be fucking Jar Jar Binks.
So now he's also a Jedi. Literally, that's how much they love him. And so, yeah, I think Lucas, I think you guys are right when it comes to Lucas. Look, he does his own thing. He doesn't
I don't
want to,
like, dip too much into that. Like, that is, like, for Ahmed Best only. The choices of, like, bringing him back and doing stuff
it's
is, like,
George.
Probably sweet for him because I didn't know at the time that, like, people take it out on him, which is, like...
Same with Jake Lloyd, all those guys.
Jake Lloyd's life got so destroyed.
Hayden Christensen
it sucks.
Was beat up for that.
Yeah,
it's a bummer. Like, I don't think I, like, knew that about people at the time, but, like, I've never, like, blamed an actor for, like, the thing. Like,
there was no internet hate fucking, like...
No, I know, it's crazy that, like, it sucks that people do that.
Well, I think it goes back...
That he didn't write the character. He didn't cast him. Like, he's an actor that tried his best with the script given...
To make money.
To do a thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever.
It's that divide,
that
though.
They then try to get, like, justice and... or perceived justice for characters or actors, but that's also real canon stuff, is a weird thing to me. Personally, it's like, don't do a weird side story where you, like, both put him away... but then also give him like, but for him, it was a great ending. Just don't talk about Jar Jar again. Just
it's too
move
big.
On.
It's too big.
Just
people want answers.
Just start telling the new story.
Why do we need a metal about, why do we need a metal story for Chewbacca? Because there's fake outrage in the same way that people love to say that moist is the worst word in the English language because it's like a meme that it is. And they all really do hate moist. And I'm even going to hear people say, I do care about moist. I hate the word moist.
No, you don't. Somebody when said I, it. And
when
you're
I
like
say
a human,
this,
so
when I say this on this podcast, somebody's going to log in and tell me that moist is real. But I'm going to tell you, like,
guys, moist isn't real. It's fake. Like birds.
So much of being in a fandom is performative, like dogmatic bullshit.
To let people know that you, oh, I'm with you. We are all.
Yeah.
It's so stupidly simple. You see it in your guys' Salem witch trial. Like, people, like hairless ape people, are so scared of being alone because alone mean death. Yeah. And that explains, like, so much insanity.
Yeah.
You just, you hear a thing, you put it on. That's yours now.
But it's also us being mad at those people. Like,
yeah, think
aren't
critically.
We just mad at God? Aren't we just mad that we're made this way? Isn't that ultimately what? Aren't we just ultimately mad at?
I guess
at,
I'm like, for me, I'm always frustrated. We're like, stop it. We now know this. So don't ever do it again. Like,
but you
always
also,
check yourself.
But you also do it in your own ways, right? Like imperceptibly all the time, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I do it as intensely and aggressively and am not opposed to people being like, hey, this is happening.
Of course not, but
you
it's...
You can't, like, the point is to not get it to zero, because that's just, like, not how it would work, but, boy, just get real about it. I feel like I've always been real on some level about, like, Smallville was my favorite show. Never would I say it's the best show. I'm okay.
Trying to get...
Like, I can, like, get real with that I'm imperfect or I have opinions
just,
or things.
I feel like there's a cycle. And again, this would be another, hey, scientists out there, this would be great. But, like, the people that grew up in the 70s and 80s, who went and saw the prequels, had a lot of the hate towards Jar Jar and you know, Hayden and to Jake Lloyd and all those guys because it felt very kiddie. And they didn't like that stuff. But then you have this group that, and I can safely say that I was part of them, like, I don't think the prequels are great, but I enjoyed the shit out of them. I love them.
I had a great time being a fan of the prequels, even though I knew they were bad at the time.
But, and I think that's because we grew up, and that we missed the 70s bit of it completely.
I think it might be that the big pill that we need to swallow as the Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is that our cool Star Wars is not George Lucas's, and that we are the we
our
are
cool
the deviants.
Star Wars is 100% expanded universe for sure.
We're we're
my
the deviants.
Cool Star Wars,
and Filoni's the Eternals.
Is like the greatest creative minds collaborating to expand the Star Wars in both Empire and Jedi, the movies. And then the other stuff.
And maybe,
but I think, like,
I actually really do not gel with a lot of George Lucas's, like, sentiments.
But then what are we
already?
But why are we mad about it?
Well, no, I think
if it's his thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the real Star Wars,
I guess because it's like not, or it's like it's fine
are
except for
playing Star Wars, the game too.
But I think that goes moving forward into the new stuff and the way people view, you know, Clone Wars and beyond. That is a different audience too. And I think the biggest thing a Star Wars fan can do is something we've talked about forever is that whether it comes to the 2010 Star Warses or the 2000 Star Warses or the 90s or whatever, it is always going to be different every decade what Star Wars is. And you just have to accept that Star Wars is like the bread and the jam is whatever the hell story they're telling. And sometimes you're going to love the taste.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're going to get Vegemite, dude.
It's too big
like,
for us.
You just have to accept that
it's... Star Wars is too big for us to like it all.
It's a universe, and you have to accept that some of it's going to be... Like, when you think Marvel or whatever, it is...
Yeah, we're like the Russian Orthodoxy over here. We're sitting in a part of the Star Wars religion that is not even mainstream anymore. We're over here, and the fact that they throw us a bone every once in a while is kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy that there is enough of us out there that they're still trying to feed us this type of Star Wars. Like, do you really believe that there was an outcry for Andor? I don't.
No.
I don't think
like
that,
to get it made?
I don't think there was like a market niche where they were like, we should make Andor. I think that was a good thing.
And even season one, no one watched season one.
Right. And so like, I do think that there's a lot of people out there who feel the same way about Star Wars as us. And I think that as much as we have zero power politically or economically, that the millennials are the wizards of culture, like we are in control of culture. And I just think like there's something kind of...
I don't think we are.
Pop culture, for sure. Definitely. Like... We were the only people alive for the real pop culture that made it. Like, pop culture has frozen. That
probably explains why we don't understand pop culture now.
Pop culture has frozen. So, like,
maybe for a sec, but
pop culture has just folded back onto itself. Like, we were like the last Gen X's who saw, like.
But I also think that's why we get so upset over things like the Star Wars sequels, where we had that sort of vision of what it should be or what was best, and then we got not good, and it stings a little. But it also, because the internet is the internet, you take that disappointment and amp it to 11. Yeah,
in the reality of life, money matters more than anything to most people. And why should Star Wars be any different? Why should anything be any different? Why shouldn't in a post-capitalist oligarchy, why shouldn't Disneyland squeeze us out of every dollar? Like, goodness, morality? Why should Star Wars be excellent? Personally, right, from my perspective as a person with experience in advertising and marketing, I think Star Wars has just lost sight of the fact that if they just slowed down and made good movies, that they could have audience opinion on the stuff that they make. If they just made less shit, it would be better, and they could control it better and focus on the quality in the same way that, you know, Coca-Cola tastes good, so it's good. You know what I mean? Like, forever, we're good. They just don't fuck
when
up
they
Coke.
They tried to change it.
Yeah, just don't pissed. Fuck up Coke. Just make your Coke. James Bond, perfect example. Like, yeah, there was a rough spot in there where the movies weren't that good, but never did people not get excited. Every James Bond has made an impact and has felt like an event has happened, except maybe the last one, because we're kind of in a post-movie society. But, like, for a good long time, the longevity of James Bond has come from the restraint as a IP that they have exhibited, whereas Star Wars, even in the pre-Disney era, was a lot less focused. And I do think that's why when it went to Disney, even though there's no rule saying that more shit has to be bad, and there's probably the same amount of good shit now as there was before, the amount of extra bad shit that's there.
Man, I can't wait to talk about, when we get to the Insider, that article is, it makes so much sense with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Definitely a listen to it listener right now, because it.
If you're buying that month just to hear us for Ewoks.
Yeah, patreon.com/SWOCBC.
Yeah. Because, man, they literally, the way they changed the thought process of Star Wars is in that article. And it makes so much sense now, considering what it was versus what it becomes. It's so interesting.
If we can talk about what happens and what it means to be a fan and what it means to, like, care about art and stuff in the same way that we can talk about the breeding habits of nematodes or something like that, with that clinicalness and that sort of just sort of resignation to the natural process of human brains, you can see why stuff happens. It makes perfect sense. It's not always in our favor. It's not always, it doesn't always give you hope, but it's always reasonable. It always makes sense why stuff happens this way. Like, human behavior is not a mystery, really. It's just that we don't want to look at it in the eye. We don't want to look at Star Wars as a IP and realize that, oh, they just made stuff for us and we suck. You know what I mean? Like, that's the truth of it, right? Ewoks exists because one guy who was in control didn't want anybody to play with his toys. And why should they? Because they're his toys. And then, they still wanted to make money, though, because it was making a lot of money and George needed to make money to make his new movies. Right. And so now he realizes, I am the way these movies get made. I need to make money. I need to not sacrifice my movies. So I'm going to make some weird shit that doesn't quite work the same way. That's what Ewoks is. Is it bad? Yeah. It's not like quality television all the way around, but there's good stuff in there to find if you look for it, if you let go of the fact that.
I mean, I think in every Star Wars thing, there's something good to find.
If you let go of the fact that something being bad is a tragedy, right? If you don't see a bad thing as a missed opportunity, which in a way it is in a world where only thing that matters is artistic integrity, which is where I like to live, but that's not the real world. So, you know, if we can look at things being not that legitimate artistically as something other than a failure or a moral failing, I think it's easier to talk about.
Yeah. I for me, I do not mind children's, like, I look at children's programming differently than I do Like, I hold it to a different standard.
Good's good and bad's bad.
Right. Yeah. But, like, to me, this is a much more successful show than...
Than Droids? Yes.
Sure. 100%. Like, and I do think, like, you do need to, like, bake in messaging to kids. I don't know. Like, the idea of, like, hey, have patience. Be honest. Like there's broad lessons that... And I like that they're baked into this kind of stuff because it's fine. So, like, is this bad? I don't know. I think it's probably pretty good for a kid's show as far as I can tell.
A lot of it is.
And I've seen Droids where I'm like, ugh. It doesn't, like, pass muster for my adult brain, but, like, that's, like, fine. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't even call Ewoks bad. I would just say, like, if you were a Star Wars fan that was not a child that wanted more Star Wars and they're doing a show and this is the show, you have 100% the right to be like, oh, man.
But is it high-quality, challenging art? No. You know what I mean?
Name a kid's show that is.
Batman the Animated Series.
Okay. But, like, I guess name a show at this time that is this sort of thing.
Adventure Time, you know, like...
No. In the 80s, like, a contemporary that does it...
Doctor Who.
Is that a kid's show?
Yeah.
I think during this time period, Davis is right that a lot of the shows were he-manified.
Star Trek.
Where it doesn't need to necessarily be a good show, it just needs to sell merch.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying, why are we mad at that? That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying, what I can see here is...
I'm not mad at it. I just think we could do better as, like, you know... It could be better.
Could it be a better show? 100%.
That's what we're saying. That's it.
Did this set out to be like, can you make a good show like this every time and also make money every time?
No. I don't think you could make a good Ewok show, period.
We almost saw it. I like
if the whole season was the Paul Dini stuff, it's still like there's just no way to escape. It is made to be like food for a brain that is less developed.
Yeah.
It's just simpler, smoother.
Yeah.
But it has like lore. It has like emotions. It has like all of the things that you
want.
I think some of the
episodes talk down to kids, and I think some of them don't. And I think that you don't always have to talk down to kids to make kids entertainment.
Yeah.
I think that's all it is. I think, like, you know, Ewoks, is my review, actually, you got to stop and watch Ewoks because actually it's better than some of the movies. No, that would be crazy. But are Ewoks the reason Star Wars sucks at this time? Because Ewoks as a concept are a stupid idea? No.
No, it's just the concept they did create is uninspired.
They're like the Rabbids, except for they never sold.
Yeah. They were
a fetch that George Lucas was trying to make happen.
But I don't think that even necessarily the things that came out did it dirty all the way. Like, the second Ewok movie was kind of tight, and the first season of Ewoks that we've seen kind of has some sick shit in it. I just think the tiny teddy bear element is not the failure. I think the failure is spending the type of energy that you get on story with the raving rabbits.
The problem is that the stuff that is successful with Ewoks is not the most Star Warsy shit. It's like fantasy. The second movie, fantasy.
The first arc is fantasy.
I like that.
Sure, but it's not necessarily the whole like Darkstone light, like it's not Star Warsy. It's a fantasy show that is just using the Star Wars setting, which is fine. I'm fine with that.
I love sci-fi and I love fantasy, but they are not interchangeable. Like, they are different things for me.
Star
like,
Wars is like not I, science fiction. It's space themed fantasy.
Sure, except for sometimes.
But the Ewok stories,
I don't know. Like it is.
You're never like, this has something to do with what's going on in the world.
No, but the Ewok stories
are not
that.
We're talking about like fucking interdictors and other stuff. Like, what fantasy. Do you want? Like, there is science fiction stuff in there, but there is also space fantasy. Like, saying that it's not is like
science
I don't know.
Fiction,
it doesn't help. It's not helpful to say that it's not. Like,
right? But there's a difference. Like with Star Wars, you have a X-wing, and then you have a literal like Merlin figure with Obi-Wan. You have these like things, and that's cool. But in the Ewok show, that's not the case. It is straight fantasy.
Yeah,
it is not a mix of anything. Yeah. It is literally a different genre.
There aren't like machines. There's not like a printed circuit board. It's like a rock creature. Yeah.
Right.
Gron or ogre
there's
creature.
There's literally like, a witch in the one movie who turns himself into a
pterodactyl.
Right. And, whether it's a good execution or a bad execution, right, is beside the point. And I think whether or not Ewoks are a good or bad idea on their own is beside the point.
But it's just...
I think the anger comes from suddenly not being marketed to and feeling angry about that.
I just think it's weird that for some reason, Ewoks are fantasy.
That is like a way to classify it, sure. I do also think if, like, Star Wars, if you just look at it, the way that it, like, the vibe and energy of it is just, in this show especially, it's just not there. I would say in the second movie, they like do a better job of it because there is like the ships and the practical effects and some of the other things that made it there. But it's like the like lived in pastiche world is like the vibe. And maybe you could be like, oh, you're just angry you're not marketed to. It's like, or you just like, this isn't like the vibe of what you made before that is like the fun universe to live in.
But what about episode one?
What about it?
Literally, like, episode four, when it came out as Star Wars, the thing that was, like, lauded about it, the thing that was so Star Wars, right, was that this was a lived-in galaxy. It was dirty. It wasn't Flash Gordon. It made space real. It was this new look at space, right? All the other media about space kind of had that shiny look to it, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, they're like weird fucking...
What the fuck did they do in the prequels, right? They just made Star Wars into that, right? They made Star Wars into a shiny, clean place that's whatever. And yet, it's true Star Wars to a lot of people, right? I think that what the problem is not a creative problem. That's all I'm saying. I think the problem is here... When we look at why people, and I'm not talking about this text, right? The Ewok show I think we all agree it's fine. It's not for us. It's not particularly shitty or particularly good. But the crisis of Star Wars being in a dark place wasn't about the quality of the Ewok show as a show about Ewoks or anything like that. It was about this sort of general feeling, which we are feeling right now, trying to review it, of not getting any Star Wars right now and getting this weird, dumb TV show about bears instead. And it's not that the show is bad. It's just that it's here instead of what we're looking for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
And I think that is so interesting compared to where I felt even 2 weeks ago about this, about the Ewoks and stuff. Because I was suffering through the droid show being like, wow, maybe the Ewoks and the droids really are like actually so bad, but it's not. It's really not that. It's not really been that experience. It's just been like a bit of a confused experience where we're just kind of frustrated that we're not talking about any of the stuff that we like about Star Wars and that we're being asked to like try our best to enjoy a show about teddy bears.
Sure.
Which is, I think, what the people making it were trying to do also. Like, I feel like probably everybody involved was trying to make some kind of thing that was more like Star Wars, but couldn't. And it was just,
They're just... I think still taking different, like, at least we have interviews about the Endor, the Ewok, like, TV movies. So you get at least...
Or at least the first one.
At least people talking about how they were made, even though they're all different origin stories. But it's like, fine. Okay, like, yes. One, and we can cross-reference that with, like, what we're seeing in The Insider. Because honestly, like, people won't just tell you exactly, like, you're not really getting the truth by one person telling you, but you can see that Lucas has all of these different avenues of emerging media formats that he is, like, expanding into in other ways. So it makes sense, some of their stories with what he's doing, that they're like, there's this TV, there's money here, it's an idea, can we bring, what does it look like if we try to bring the grandiose of Star Wars to a smaller medium?
I mean, also probably he made a lot of money though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that if he set out to make something.
Sure.
For
the people though, like there's no doubt in my mind that Lucas does not love cinema. Like, there are people that just do a thing because they can make money. If he was just in it for money, He could do a lot less.
Money for a goal. I think he needed money for something else that he was trying to do, right? Like, that kind of what it seems like was going on in general with the
Carrie. I'm trying to save cinema. That's what I was playing with.
No. Wait.
I do actually though. Yes, it makes a ton of money, but there are like, and I don't agree always with his like creative direction, but I do feel like in a lot of different ways, I can feel and understand why he was doing it. Like, I don't think TV movies are a big business, especially compared to the money he was making in the movies. I do, even the idea of just like having young filmmakers, local actors, like the idea of him trying something as more of a creative exercise, but also having funding to experiment makes sense to me more than it just being a quick buck.
It's not also it's not a quick buck. It's like he needs the money to continue the business of Star Wars. He needs money to keep Star Wars in people's minds for years longer than most movies stay in people's minds, so that in 10 years or whatever, when he's ready, when technology catches up to the ideas that he already has about, so he clearly already has about Star Wars, that he has enough dick size to then get a trilogy of movies approved by 20th Century Fox again.
Yeah.
So there is a game that he has to play regardless of whether or not that's his main goal. I do believe that George Lucas, more like every story that I've ever heard about the man, he's like low-key chill and only wants to talk about cool shit, and like that's what he seems to care about. But that is not the reality of having a multi-billion dollar property. The reality is you got to start thinking about, do I need an attraction at Disneyland so people care? Do I need to have a children's TV show on TV so that kids are thinking about Star Wars, because I can't make a kid's film about Star Wars right now because I don't want to make a giant movie. So what do I do? Well, let's make this Ewok thing and not put our A-team on it, and it can be like a training exercise. You know what I mean? Both sides of it are not insidious.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, like, I don't think that that's the only reason, but I also do think that what they're learning is that, like, you know how you're like, what George Lucas thinks about Star Wars is not what we like about it? That's almost
crossover, yeah.
But I'm saying, like, if you even just look at the way that Star Wars got made, the specific characters are, like, the last thing that got locked in. Like, the pastiche universe is what he loves.
And he didn't really lock it in. It was really more sure, his like, wife.
Right. 100%, like, we also could see where he was going with it in a second. Like, his book, we have enough information to be like, yeah, he doesn't really get them. So, him just having the universe and stuff, but I do think that he learned that, like, okay, just throwing stuff and being experimental, people aren't like, that was a nice try, but give us something else. People are, like, aggressively anti the holiday, don't do experiment. Like, by the time they got the second one, they were like, no, stop. Let's have a real story. Let's have like people that like, let's try to make this like a little Star Wars. Like, so I think that's what you're kind of getting in. I'm hoping.
I think he was trying to stay in that position. That. Yeah. I think he was trying to stay in that position for the big show this whole time.
Yeah.
Without the ability to do the thing that Star Wars does best, which is make movies, because that's what he's waiting for. Because I think even in the interviews we see of him in The Insider, he's saying, when technology catches up to what I want to make, it's going to be hot, but it's not there yet, you know? And I don't think he's lying. I genuinely just think
when I was younger and that was like his excuse for the TV show, I was like, whatever. But it does, especially
looking at volume.
I'm not just trying to upsell people on the Patreon, but like really the Star Wars Insider has been, I wasn't even expecting that to be as interesting as the rest of the stuff for me, but yeah. Like, we get to walk through in detail movie technology as it's happening. And like the amount of work it took to make the water effect in the abyss is like, it cannot be understated how much time and money went for like that sequence. So actually, and even in some of his interviews, when he's interviewed and he goes into minutia of like the cost of a shot, the average person probably doesn't give a fuck about that. If you're like a Star Wars fan, you're like, do you care how much the shot costs? You're like, no.
Yeah. But I don't like, know. I don't understand.
But for him, because he's thinking about the universe and how to make it.
Yeah, he has to make it.
You're like, oh no, you're right. I don't know how you would do Coruscant before the year 2000. Like, until you did it, what is that? What does it look like?
And his conception of movies, right, is not just from the world-building storytelling standpoint. He's also like, no, Star Wars should be, after the first one, right, it's like, part of the brand of Star Wars is blowing everybody's minds. Like, one day there was no Star Wars and America was one way, and then one day Star Wars came out and our dreams were like 10 times larger. Do you know what I mean?
A New Hope, the space battles are sick. By Return of the Jedi, I don't know that it's not real.
Right.
Like it's so dialed in, and I get that, like, you can't, like, fuck you, like, the expectation, like, you don't get to now work up to there anymore. That's now where you're at.
Do you know about Thomas Ince?
The name sounds really familiar.
That's because there's a street right close to us called Ince. You know that street?
Oh my God. Is that who it's named after?
It touches the real estate, which is like the Culver Studio, where his original studio, I think it was called like Triangle Studio, something like that, was founded. And then he like wanted—
Isn't that like a square game?
Yeah. And he really wanted to make historical epics.
That's a good bit, I would say.
He wanted to make American historical epics and cowboy shit. Okay. And so he basically went around and made every movie studio that exists today pretty much by himself, and also invented how movies are made as a system, as a studio system, and as the workflow of movies that we still like work from today, about like having a shooting script and stuff like that. And
it does help to have a script when you're shooting something.
And like a department that makes this shit and a department that makes this shit and all that. That's Ince, right? And he went around and he died like not very long into his career because there was some weird murder that he happened to him on Hearst's boat, and like a whole crazy thing happened where he died.
Another, like, I don't know what happened. He just went overboard.
I don't know. There's probably a reason. There's probably a reason I'm reading about this. But look, he did something not just for each movie that he made, which he made a lot of movies, but because he made them so fast. But he did something for movies. He made movies as a concept better. Movies are like 200 years old max. You know what I'm saying? And so compared to books, like the jumps and strides that we're making on format and medium and stuff like that, it's still evolving, right? Like books, like we're post on books. Like books, we're not going to like evolve English too much more. We can do anything.
Well,
there's been books that have been written.
We can devolve it.
A man wrote a book without the letter E, like we're done. Like books have been, we're good. Like, it's crazy.
Think about how much money you save.
But but George Lucas.
Color? Why do you need a U there?
George Lucas with Phantom Menace and the way that he decided to make movies for the prequel Star Wars trilogy was as influential as Thomas Ince, in my opinion, to how movies are made today.
Yeah.
And the reason why we look at stuff like Volume, right? And we go, they shouldn't have been making AAA movies with this until they mastered it, right? That's what George Lucas was thinking about when he didn't make a movie for 10 years, for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's kind of interesting about his decision-making process too, is like, did he make Ewoks because he thought it was a good idea? No. But was it an idea that he thought could be made into a good idea that he was willing to concede on versus his large plan for making the craziest mind-bending films ever made?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of interesting. That's all I got to say about the Ewok series one.
Yeah, there's not really much. Like, we'll see what season two is.
One thing I want to try, just because we're all here. We've all listened to the song at least 13 times now, right? How does it go?
Ewoks.
In your mind, how does that? You got the Ewoks. Is that it?
Isn't it like E and then the chorus a half step later says Ewoks?
Try it.
No.
Just try it once. How do you think it goes?
I just did. I'm one person. I can't do it. And I famously can't do half things.
What do you think the melody is?
Got the Ewoks.
Yeah. I don't know. That's, if you guys want to do something multimedia on Patreon, I know they just updated their stuff behind the scenes. You know, you can go on the app and Quip now or some shit like that. If there's some way that you can link a video response, Quip? It's like a tweet on Patreon. Don't worry about it.
I'm too old.
I know. Go on Patreon. Go to the comment section for this episode or another one or something, and send us a link. I want to hear you guys sing the E, because I don't think that there's a standard way that it's done. I think he does it a different way each time in the song, in the actual recording.
There's one part where it sounds like saying Ewoks.
Yeah.
But then there's that part where he goes, Ewoks.
He goes, there's a part where he goes, and then somebody else is like, Ewoks. It's crazy.
Song's wild.
That's all I want to talk about. Up next.
All this was just leading up to that.
Yeah. Up next, there's more stuff. Ewok season 2 is coming. Ewoks and Droids, the comics coming. And then Heir to the Empire. That's a lot sooner than you thought, probably. Guys, and also more surprises to come, of course, just like always. We're talking about some cool stuff right now that we're thinking about maybe doing. And also, immediately after Heir to the Empire, that's games, video games again. So get ready for that. That's kind of exciting.
Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, we're in that era now. So get hype for that too. So
I'm excited. That will probably make me the most angry.
Why?
That I get. Like emotionally, or like, not like because I'm connecting to it on a
just getting
level.
Just
being like, fuck this.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm fine with that. That's entertainment.
I'm ready for the 8-bit music. I'm excited.
Oh, it's gonna be great. Anyway, we're gonna be like let's playing these games too as best we can. I don't think we're gonna like start beating games till a little bit later, but we'll try. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll give it a shot. We'll give the old college try.
Yeah.
I cannot wait
to
play the Dark Forces Mara Jade. I've never
Mysteries
played
of the Sith?
It.
Yeah, it's hype.
I've never played it. There's just the image of her and the Rancor. Like,
I feel like a lot of people like Mara Jade from that rather than...
Up where they walk.
The man's spinning now.
He's in a secret lab chair, spin around in a circle. All right.
He had a musical number and everything.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Go on our Patreon and listen to the Inside the Insider. We are one issue away from the end of the Star Wars Insider. I think literally today is the last issue of the Star Wars literally
this issue. It finally got good.
This is the
because we got diecast. We got
this is the final.
Machines.
This is the final issue of the Lucas
we got the toys
film.
That I
club.
They weren't just like my babysitters. Kenner toys, these were my toys.
Yeah, so I think the very first one that's actually called the Star Wars Insider is actually the next one after this. So this might be an interesting one. And we'll see you there. Patreon.com/SWOCBC. Let's send it to the droids. Goodbye.
The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions from our listeners at patreon.com/SWOCBC. Thank you for your support. This month's Patreon, Masters of the Horse, are Ian Berenade, Trevor Isom, Patrick Rowland, Jazz Owl, Peacetime Mando, and Metroid Mike. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with a discussion about our next selection, Ewoks Season 2, an animated television series from Paul Dini and Bob Caro. This episode was edited by Alex Del Campo and Alex Farciani. The theme song is Venus, the Bringer of Peace by Gustav Holst, performed by the U.S. Air Force Heritage of America Band. Original show art by Jackie Whistler. See you next time.